Today's reading begins in Acts chapter 18, verse 18. Acts 18, verse 18. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchrea he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow, and they came to Ephesus, and he left them there, but he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, "I will return to you if God wills," and he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he had powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the Scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue, and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. In our previous reading, we had read of Paul meeting Priscilla and Aquila, and I mentioned to you that they were going to be important workers in the kingdom, seeing them pop up here and there. And today's reading is one of those. So Paul takes Priscilla and Aquila with him. They arrive at Ephesus, but they remain there while he continues on. Paul's intention right now is to strengthen the saints in these locations where the word has already been preached. So at Caesarea, he goes up and greets the church, goes down to Antioch, spends some time there, and then travels throughout Galatia and Phrygia, which had a number of congregations, working to strengthen all the disciples. And so Luke's narrative then switches over to a story about Apollos, a story you're probably familiar with. This Jew named Apollos was eloquent. He was competent in the Scriptures. In other words, he knew the old Scriptures, and he was going about preaching, but he was preaching the baptism of John. He did not yet know everything that he needed to know to preach Jesus. Or rather, I guess I should say, to fully preach Jesus, because it does state he was teaching accurately things concerning Jesus, but he only knew the narrative up to that point of the baptism of John. And so when Priscilla and Aquila hear him, they take him aside and they explain to him the way of God more accurately. It wasn't that he was inaccurate before, it was incomplete. So now that they have filled in the gaps, he immediately accepts these things. He accepts their tutelage. And when he's ready to move on to go to Achaia, the disciples write a letter to tell the other disciples to welcome him. And this, again, is an indication of how well Paulus received the instruction and how his attitude was among the brethren. He didn't get upset. He wasn't defensive. He didn't do anything that would bring reproach upon the name of Christ nor of himself. They wholeheartedly write this letter for him. It also states that he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that Christ was Jesus. So Apollos had a great attitude in receiving this instruction, but I would also say that Priscilla and Aquila must have had a great attitude in approaching him. They did not publicly shame him. They didn't jump up and shout and say, "Hey, this guy is not preaching the whole truth." They took him privately and sat down with him and instructed him. And so because of their approach, Apollos accepts it well, and because of Apollos's attitude, he accepts it well, and the outcome is very, very favorable. Well, now we switch back to Paul. He goes through the inland country, comes to Ephesus. He finds some disciples. Something must have prompted this question, because this doesn't seem like a normal question, or at least not as Luke recording it anywhere else. This is the only place where Paul shows up to some location and says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" That's why I suspect there's something that prompted this question. They say, "No, we've not even heard of such a thing." He says, "Into what were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." So now we have another instance in which a group of people need to be taught more accurately. They need some gaps filled in. They need Jesus preached to them more completely. And he does. And their response is, "Well, we need to be baptized in the name of Jesus." And they do so. And afterward, Paul lays hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. I think that's important also, that they did not just automatically receive the Spirit. That's not the implication of his question asking, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" It shows here that they didn't receive the Spirit until Paul laid hands on them, indicating that as an apostle he was able to do this, but no one else was able to do it outside of the apostles. And so by the end of the first century, when the apostles are all passing away, the gifts of the Holy Spirit died with those whom they had laid their hands on. And by that time, the word was complete and there was no longer a need for the Holy Spirit in the way that it had been previously needed. Well, he goes from here and he reasons and persuades about the kingdom in the synagogue for about 3 months. Those that were there began to get stubborn. They began to speak evil of the way, and so he takes those that are actually disciples, and they reason in the hall of Tyrannus for the next 2 years. And it had more of an effect than just those disciples that he took with him, because it says that because of this, all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Just as an interesting note, I have a footnote there after reasoning daily in the Hall of Tyrannus, that some manuscripts add that he was in the Hall of Tyrannus from the 5th hour to the 10th hour each day, so from 11 to 4, 5 hours a day teaching in the Hall of Tyrannus. It's not really pertinent to the story, but it's interesting to note. That concludes our reading. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.